Okay, hey everybody, can you hear us? Okay, good. Well, good evening, Gloria. I heard your snappy new intro for the first time tonight, and so we're gonna and of course I heard Reverend Glenn and Yolanda before that, so we're gonna have to come up with some kind of snappy upbeat intro, but we don't have one yet. But
Is that
anyway,
my
in fact,
cue?
we got dead silence.
All right. I will do my best to be as soothing as Larry was. I don't think I will be successful in that venture, but he does have a nice radio voice. We are going to start in NTI on page 33. NTI Matthew chapter 16. It's not where we finished, but we're going to just start from the beginning of this chapter because we finished. It was a bit of a cliffhanger, so we're going to just do the. If you missed this last week, we'll show you what happened. Okay. And
Oh, I was just going to ask you if you wanted to do a prayer first.
go right ahead.
See, he's getting better. He's learning to drop that back in my lap. So let's just sit together for a minute and see what prayer comes. Yeah, I just want to pray from the depths of my heart that
Welcome,
that we can just really
and thank you
hear
for joining me this evening for
what's being
Between the
said
Lines.
in the words of NTI as we look at this together, and that we can inspire ourselves and one another with the truth of the wisdom that comes not necessarily from the words themselves, but the knowing that comes as we read these words. Yeah. Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
That's beautiful.
right.
Thank you, darling.
Yep.
Am I being heard okay? Great. Okay, Matthew chapter 16. Rejoice, for the time will come that you will know all that you ask. The time will come that you will know that death is not real and the world is not real and I am your reality. Rejoice and put your faith in me. Stay with your search. Seek and you shall find.
Okay.
All right.
So I have something to say right away. This is really sweet, and this is a theme that seems to be coming up again and again for me, and that is you know, it's not about it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. You know, rejoice in the journey. Know that seek and you shall find. Know that I'm always headed in the right direction, and that that the time will come when I will know, you know, just like the quote you guys were just talking about, I will know from my own inner knowing, from my own experience, I will know that death is not real, that the world's not real. I will be in the same place that Jesus was in. And this chapter is going to talk about that a little bit more, about how Jesus was enlightened and what that meant. But that I will know that this is not my reality. Because right now I walk in this world and I think that this is my reality. I think that there are separate beings. I have an idea of oneness. I have an intellectual conceptualization of oneness. But with my continuing willingness and my continued application of what I do know, my continued placing of my faith in the right place, the time will come when, in fact, I will know that death is not real, this world is not real, and the reality of who I am is beyond my experience now.
That's a great point, a really wonderful jumping off point, because so much of this is so much of the search consists of what am I, and I think that there's a really integral tool to that, which is what am I not? And by knowing what you're not, then you're free from it. You can be free from that which you considered reality. So that is a really good point, and I would stress that very clearly, because we have been living our lives based on assumptions our whole lives, and it's just this assumption that it's a continuing assumption, and it's conditioned, and it's fortified every every time you look out on the world. If you look out on the world with that, then it's going to be fortified. So to negate the reality of the world or the reality of the body is equally as important as and a pointer right at what is the truth, is what I should say. Second paragraph. Now is a time of doubt for you, but doubts must rise if you are to let go of them. All of this is inside of you, fear, guilt, and hatred. These things must be released if you are to know peace and light. So do not fear that you see doubt. Fear can keep you from me. Rejoice that you are doing the work I have asked. Let your fear and doubt come into your mind that you may see it. But in faith, let it go. In this way, you choose where you will put your faith. In this way, you do the work that I have asked you to do.
Yeah, and of course, for me at least, this points to the process of purification, because you know, we've got a couple of things we can do when we see, you know, this says, first of all, be assured that fear, guilt, and hatred are inside of you. These are the blocks to the awareness of love's presence. These are the blocks to the awareness of who we really are. Don't be surprised when you find them there. Fear, guilt, and hatred are within you. Given that, you've only got a couple things you can do. You could deny that they're there, repress them, pretend that they're not there, and la 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 la, I'm so spiritual, look at me, and oh no, I don't hate anybody, I don't fear anything, I'm good, right? That's one way to handle it. And some of us do that even when we're very, very, very actively on this path. I mean, I see it in myself, and I'm shocked when I'm like, oh my God, I've been pretending that I didn't see that. You know, you don't even know you're doing it. So so when you find it, don't be surprised. So the other option, besides repression, is to let it come up, you know, and sit with it. It's that whole rest, accept, and trust thing. If you're mad, okay, you're mad. If you're hating somebody, you want to kill somebody, okay, you hate somebody and you want to kill somebody. That's in there. If you go, no, I'm too spiritual for that, it's not in there, that's not healing it. That's not bringing it up into the light, you know, and offering it to Holy Spirit so that it can be healed. So those are your only options. Repress or let this stuff come up, and it's there. If it wasn't there, then you'd be enlightened already, right? So some of that is there. And when it comes up, rejoice, because that's our opportunity to go, oh, look at that. That's still there. And once we bring it into this light, that's our opportunity to let it go. And bringing it into the light is merely the acknowledgement that, yes, it is in fact there. And that's what it says, but in faith, let it go. In this way, you choose where you will put your faith. So it's fine to talk about this stuff in abstract terms. It's like, oh, yeah, I hate. But you know what? Some days, damn it, I hate. Sorry for the cussing. you know, daggone it. Really, I'm upset. But this is, but letting it come up instead of just repressing. Oh, no, I'm too spiritual for that. That way, I don't even get to choose. It's going to come up again later because I haven't dealt with it. I got to let it come up and then go, am I happier going, I hate, and here's why, because that stupid SOB did blah, 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 you know, and there you are down that road. And you can, and I can feel it even as I, you know, make up this example. I can feel the contraction around that daggone SOB. So do I bring it up, indulge in it, project it onto somebody else and not deal with it? Or do I bring it up and go, wow, look at that. I'm really feeling that hate feeling, and that's not how I want to feel. So that's what's being offered here, is the opportunity to do that. And in that way, you choose where you will put your faith. In that way, you do the work that's being asked of you to do.
Very well spoken, and I wanted to jump in there a couple Sorry. Times, but you were moving along pretty well, so I'm going to segue off of what you just said, and the honesty, the self-honesty, the raw, sometimes excruciating self-honesty with self, with yourself, is so important. Because we've been dishonest for so long, we have not acknowledged these temporary realities that we coexist with day in and day out, hour after hour, minute after minute. When we allow ourselves the luxury of meeting what we have, this energy, which is just energy, these energies that we have held within ourselves, this fear, this guilt, and this hatred, when we allow ourselves to face that, they actually become pointers to the truth. That's the beauty of this. They become transformed. They are transformative energies. They go from being what we thought they were into being a pointer to the truth. So I'm going to continue now.
Thank you. No, I mean, okay. Thank you for what you said.
Okay. The Spirit of God is one, and His Son is one with Him. There is no separateness. There is only the Father and His extension of His Self, which is His Son. In this way, the Spirit of God is one, and it is whole. You know, I would just like to say briefly on that, for definitive purposes, for me, this is my how I assimilate this information. The Father is absolute awareness. The Son is consciousness, which is aware of possibly objective reality. It's aware of itself. And that's, to me, that's the extension, is the consciousness.
You know, I don't want to get too deeply into this thought, but you know, you guys have probably heard me say before that we identify ourselves so separately that we can't even begin to understand the concept of oneness. You know, I have said before that the closest that we can get to that is, you know, you say oneness to us separate ego humans, and we think of everybody standing together really close in a room, right? I mean, that's as close to oneness as we can get. Recently at this retreat with John Mark Stroud, I don't know who I heard speaking about it. Might have been, I don't know if it's John Mark Stroud or Bryn Haskell, but somebody was talking about the holographic nature of the universe. So that each and like the fractals, right? And so each piece, if you will, it can't really be separated because it's one, but each piece of the whole contains the whole within it. So, I mean, it's just so far beyond, oneness is so far beyond what the mind can hope to comprehend. That you can tell that you shouldn't be in your mind at all.
Right, yeah.
Right? Because this is not about your mind, because your mind can't be one. Your mind can't comprehend one. It can't be one. It will never be one. And it's the heart.
Yeah.
It's the heart that understands oneness.
Right, yeah.
It's the heart that can comprehend it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Thank you, honey.
Yeah. Oh, and Becky says it was Bryn Haskell who talked about fractals and the holographic universe. Yeah, thanks, Becky.
All right. We're going to go on to page 34. Those are verses 17 and 18.
Uh-huh.
Right? It is on your faith in my word that I shall build my church. It is on your willingness to believe me over what you see that I will heal your sight. It is oneness that you seek, and so it is the truth that you shall find. You are blessed in your search. That which is forever true cannot be overcome. Oh, this is biblical.
Yeah, it is biblical. Actually, the whole thing is, right? But
yeah.
But yeah, as you guys know, in NTI, there are certain verses that have the little picture of the Bible next to them, and it's suggested that we read that Bible verse before we read the Holy Spirit's interpretation. So this is, again, it's Matthew verse 19. Verse 19. No, it's Matthew 16, verse 19. Yep, that's what it is. 16 verses 19. So here we go. It says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Okay, that's it.
Just taking a little nibble there. This instruction given to Peter was given to all who put faith in me. For Peter is but a symbol of faith within the unhealed mind. What this mind holds on to is held on to within heaven. For the truth is always true. And what this mind lets go of is let go in heaven, for the truth is always true. The Spirit of God is one, and the Spirit of God is heaven. So you must be one with heaven. Now I'm gonna surmise here. Do you want me to continue?
I was just thinking we'd finish the verse out.
Okay.
Yep.
Let that which blinds you to the truth go from your mind, that the truth, which always has been, may dawn.
Okay, you're going to surmise.
Yeah. It is the will, because I really don't quite understand exactly what this is saying right now.
All right, well, that's
there. So I'm assuming that it is a true desire versus a false desire. What is bound in heaven is bound on earth.
Here's a verse. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven.
Okay. I'm not going to go into that right now because I don't.
Well, let's, yeah, that's fair, but let's look at it here again. It says, faith within the unhealed mind. What this mind holds on to is held on to within heaven, for the truth is always true. And what this mind lets go of is let go of in heaven, for the truth is always true. I mean, I think that what it seems to be saying is that, you know, we're the choosers. All the power lies within,
right. Okay.
Within our
That's
desire to see.
Right.
We are the creators.
Okay.
Yeah.
So whatever, whether you hold on to a false desire or the true desire, it's the power of God that is holding that desire.
Right, and so that's what your experience is
right.
going to be.
Right, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
I really think that's what's being said here.
Okay, good. All right, so I'm going to continue with verse 20.
Okay.
Jesus is not the Christ in himself. The Christ is the Son of God, and no one is left outside of the Christ. Peter is a symbol of faith within the unhealed mind. And so Peter is also the symbol.
Can we stop for a second?
Yeah.
Okay, on verse 20, Jesus is not the Christ in himself. The Christ is the Son of God, and no one is left outside of the Christ. So when it was talking about back in verses 13 to 16, there is no separateness. There's only the Father and his extension of his self, which is his Son. In this way, the Spirit of God is one and it is whole. Well, the extension of God is the Christ. And it's the Christ. Jesus became the Christ. Jesus, you know, and this certainly sounds heretical in some circles, but Jesus became the Christ. You know, this is enlightenment. We are the Christ. He discovered that he was the Christ. So, like, it wasn't Jesus Christ. Christ is his last name, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like Jesus enlightened.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so so Jesus discovered the truth of who he is. And this is saying the truth of who you are is the Son of God. And this is a truth that you can also discover.
Mm. Okay. Thank you. Peter is the symbol of faith within the unhealed mind. And so Peter is also the symbol of the unhealed mind that has faith. In Peter, you will see great faith. And in Peter, you will see doubt, fear, and confusion.
You know, it's funny because it's not how we usually see Peter. We don't see Peter as the symbol of faith. We see Peter as the guy who, no matter how many times Jesus told him, he's still, Peter was the one, right, that Christ said, you'll deny me three times before the cock crows.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Peter seemed to be, the doubter until the end. And the real sweet part here is it says Peter's the symbol of faith within the unhealed mind. It says you also see doubt, fear, and confusion, but I just think that's really sweet because that's not usually my perception.
Yeah.
Of Peter.
Well, what I've seen of Peter, he's got like a childlike faith, not a master's faith. So he seemed to have this childlike, enthusiastic faith, but he also was given to great doubt and uncertainty and treasured the body had certain. Ideals about the body, and that goes even into when they were accepting Gentiles in and whatnot, but we're not going to get into that. However, you know, this speaking about the doubts and the fear and the confusion, you know, it we are asked to lay those aside. And in my experience, and this is just a sharing, the I thought can not make that leap, cannot do that. The to me, what is necessary for me is to, what my practice is to constantly be looking at the inner guru or the inner Christ or the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it. Constantly be looking at that. Look only at me. And to me, that's what this really takes, because conditioning comes back very quickly. Doubts come back very quickly. Fear comes back very quickly. Once I wander, I stop looking at the guru. Once I am not looking, I am beholden to all those doubts, uncertainties, and fears. But as I look, and all I need to do is look and look and look and look, because I know if I look long enough, that is going to be my identification. That is what I'm going to identify naturally. I'm going to identify myself with what I am looking upon. So I sit and I look and I look. And what happens is these things that I am asked to lay aside, the I thought cannot do that. And in my experience, the I thought cannot do that. Those things will fall away. Those things will fall away because the truth is not interested in them. For many years, I've been trying to make these strenuous efforts with the following downcast, belittling, feeling bad about myself that I, you know, fell short again. I quit, and you know, I gave it up for 30 days, and I'm back again. And who's trying to stop? Who is trying to stop? The I thought is trying to do it. The I thought is trying to say, "Oh, I got to give this up. I got to
give
this."
I got to give myself up.
Right, right, yeah, and that is not successful for me. So I feel much more comfortable just looking at the most real representation of myself that I can find, and that is within myself. And so I just look and I look and I look, and I know that that practice is bringing me closer to my full-time identification with that truth. Where am I?
We are at You Are Peter.
You are Peter. Until you know that you are the Son of God, do not doubt that you are Peter. And so you will seem to have moments of great faith, and you will seem to have moments of doubt, fear, and confusion. It is the doubt, fear, and confusion you must let go of, for they block the light of heaven and the awareness of who you are. It is faith you must hold on to, for your faith is your path to me.
Yeah, I just want to say I thought that was really sweet, a real sweet follow-up to what you were just saying. Because you can look at those moments of doubt, fear, and confusion and go, oh, man, I'm such a screw-up. Mm. I'm never going to get this, right?
Yeah.
But that just leads further into the darkness. Or you can turn from that as often as you remember.
Right.
Right.
As often as you remember.
As often as you remember. And hold on to your faith that's beyond your doubt, fear, and confusion, because you know in your heart of hearts.
Mm-hmm.
That the truth is true.
That's
the faith that you have to hold on to.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very well said, honey. Thank you. Jesus was enlightened, for he knew what heaven is. Not was, is. And in his joy, he invited all to join him. But heaven is not given on invitation alone, for heaven must be accepted, and all that is not heaven must be let go of. This is what I have been asking you to do. Let go of your doubts. Let go of your fear. Let go of your thoughts of separateness, and lay yourself aside. You do not need these things. They but block the light of heaven. Instead, pick up your faith in me and faith in light and walk with me to the light. In this way, you shall know what heaven is.
Okay, so I want to say that at this recent retreat, I got a real taste of this. You know, there's been a movement afoot, and some people go, "Oh, we're enlightened already." Well, and, you know, so we never have to do anything else. In the meantime, you know, they're cussing out this one and or what, you know, whatever their issues are, they're not really dealing with their issues, right? So there's some.
It's not the peace of God that they have.
It's not the peace of God that they have. It's they're really in denial when they're doing
it's
that.
It's their version of peace.
Right. But here's the truth in that. The truth in you're enlightened already is what Tom was talking about a while ago. It's that is the truth. There's not a self that you have to improve. Right? That self, and we've been saying this all night since we picked up the book tonight, that self cannot improve. That self will never be improved because that self doesn't exist. There's the self that we think that we are will not be enlightened. So what we're being asked to do is to let go of our identification with this separate sense of self, because it's that very identification, and this is, you know, about what you bind in heaven, what you bind on earth, you bind in heaven. What you let loose on earth, you know, is let loose in heaven. It's the focus, it's the attention. Where am I placing my focus and my attention? Do I continue to believe that I'm a separate self living in a separate world in a separate body, and it's all, and you know, we've talked about all this stuff intellectually before, but what I'm feeling called to do is to have the experience. And I have the experience by, number one, getting still, and in the stillness feeling the truth of myself in my heart. And then living from that truth that I find in my heart. You know, what the separate self would do would go, "Oh, yeah, but okay, that was great. My 20 minutes in my meditation was great. Now let me go to the grocery store. Hey, you jerk, get out of my way. You know, you're driving in my lane. Hey, you clerk, you were mean to me at the grocery store. I'm going to be mean back." So we think that the separate self sits down to meditate. We think that the separate self does anything, and that's the problem. We have this belief in this persona that we've created. It doesn't exist. We don't exist. And the only place we can find the truth of that is in our hearts. And the only way that we are able to be in our hearts is to get quiet and feel who is that in there? What does that feel like? And then do our very best when we get up off the cushion to live from that awareness, that knowledge, that connection with the truth of who we are when we go to the grocery store, when we go to work. Live from there. Okay, that's I'm feeling. I don't know if I'm saying it.
I'm getting. Yeah, feeling it. You know, it speaks of let go of your thoughts of separateness. I spent a lot of time trying to let go of my thoughts of separateness, because I was trying to improve the person.
Right.
I needed to, what I find is imperative in within this consciousness, this little pod of consciousness, I need to look upon truth all the time. I can't let go of consciousness on its own. I can't let go of separateness on its own as as a matter of course. It is necessary for me to look upon the truth, to be focused within myself, within myself. And I'm speaking of gurus now because I've been listening to a lot of Nisargadatta, but talking about the inner guru. And that is where I need to focus on. I don't want to focus on letting go of my thoughts of separateness, because I'm still focused on separateness.
Right.
I want to focus on what is real, what feels most authentic in me. And so I trust that the continued looking and looking and looking continually, and as Jacqueline was talking, when you're going out to the grocery store, it's very easy to forget these little forays out into the world. It's very easy to forget, and it's okay, but just commit whenever you remember to look at what's true in you. And letting go of the thoughts of separateness happens as a matter of course.
Right. Yeah. And that's what he says. Instead, pick up your faith in me and faith in light and walk with me to the light.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like, it's a shift in your attention and your awareness.
Right. Yes.
It's
preemptive. It's instead of waiting for doubts and fear and confusion to come and then saying, oh, let me focus on, let me get back to truth. Let me, you know, it's always preparing, you know, always being prepared, always knowing that the conditioning is still in motion, because we believe in this. We still believe in this physical world. We believe so. Within the physical world are the laws of momentum, and the momentum is huge. There's 58 years of momentum that's coming up behind my back, and so because I still consider this the physicality of this place very seriously, it's imperative for me to constantly, more and more, as I go along in this spiritual process, to be more and more focused, more and more devoted, because the resistance becomes more intense also. So and if the resistance come, I know there's a passage in here later on in this, and it talks about, watch the resistance. Don't try to get rid of the resistance, you know. Let it come. It's, again, if I let it come, it becomes a pointer. If I fight it, it doubles it.
Right.
So verse 25. One cannot die, so Jesus does not ask you to die. He asks you to live within the oneness that he is. Lay down your little life and your desire for it, that you may know the life that is.
Yeah, so, ego's interpretation, the thinking mind's interpretation of this is, it's, you're going, well, wait a minute, you know, I kind of like my separate traits and, you know, and what I know is Jacqueline and this separate sense of self. And ego, Jacqueline, the separate self, would see this as a sacrifice. You're being asked to, wait a minute, you want me to die? That's not what this is saying. No, we want you to step into the fullness of who you are. Why would you want to fly with the wings of a sparrow when you can soar on the wings of the eagle, as A Course in Miracles says? That's what you're asking. You're being asked to step into your magnitude, into your greatness, and quit believing that you're this little thinking mind piece of little clay that runs around and, you know, and does meaningless, senseless things with other little pieces of clay. This is not who you are.
Yeah. That's like a seek ye first, like you were talking about.
Yeah.
Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these all these, the ability to enjoy the differences, are then exemplified and multiple. You can appreciate these little differences, so yeah.
Yeah, so it's not like, it's not like you go, okay, I'm one, and poof, you disappear and you never get to enjoy another ice cream cone or whatever, right? I mean, that's not you. In fact, you enjoy it more because you enjoy it from all of life,
From the kingdom.
from the kingdom,
Yeah.
from the knowledge that there's nothing to fear. I mean, it's anyway, I'm done.
Thank you, darling.
Thank you.
Anytime you mention ice cream cones, it's okay
Yeah,
with
we gotta
me.
go. We gotta get some ice cream. It's 11:11. Anybody
All right.
cares? All right.
Verse 26. This is where you must look at your thoughts and your desires. For if you desire anything of the world, you have lost your desire for me. Do not be afraid of what you find in your search. You will find that you do desire the world, for it is your desire that brought you here. But in finding your desire, you can choose to let it go. And in this way, you choose again, releasing the future from the past that you may see differently now. Having chosen to come here, and recognizing the abundance of desires and just the it's just ripe with opportunities for gratitude and gratification. I went through that. Actually, when I was younger, I had a quite a very scary period in my life for a few years where there was a suicidal thoughts and whatnot, because I recognized that to me, I recognized that there was no meaning in this world. But then I started drinking and I found meaning. Actually, it was really more of I found some relief, but then everything was just insatiable in that lifestyle, and eventually, even in that lifestyle, I realized that there was no peace here. There was no peace. There was no joy. There was no comfort. And I eventually I came to the I couldn't drink anymore. I that well had run dry. I had and so I came to the realization that there is nothing to be found here. There are no desires here that satisfy me. Even as I go through this spiritual path now, I still don't find a whole lot of things enjoyable. Jacqueline enjoys golfing. She enjoys a lot of different things that she enjoys, mixing with people and whatnot. And for the most part, I don't enjoy things like that at this point. And I feel, and as we were talking about before, it was like, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things shall be added to you. I can't make myself enjoy these things, and I'm okay with not enjoying them, so I'll just sit, and I'm content to sit and just look at the kingdom, and look and look and look. And I know that I will see the real world. I will see it. I don't know. It might be tomorrow. That's just an expression of what's going on with me. Where was I, honey?
You're ready for chapter 27.
Verse 27.
Yeah, verse 27, sorry.
It is within you that I shall come. For it is within your heart and your mind that you shall see that you are one with me. and in this knowledge you shall be rewarded, for there is no reward but me. It is simple. If you accept me and let all else go, you shall know me. In knowing me, you shall know life and truth, for I am life and truth. In this knowledge, you cannot die. Life and truth are the opposite of death, because life and truth are everything, and death, like fear, is nothing.
Yeah, so again, it is within you that I shall come, right? So we're being advised again to turn to inner wisdom, to turn to our hearts, to return to the place where we will recognize the truth of who we are. It's here that we will see that we are one. And that is the reward. I mean, you know, Tom talks about, you know, figuring out that that there wasn't value in the things of the world, and we all get to that place, and you know, and then we go out again, and we look for some more, you know, some more rewards in the world, and ultimately, you know, they fall flat until we experience the truth of our oneness. And we all know that, all of us on the spiritual path know that place in our hearts. Know we can go to that place where we can feel that oneness, and we know that that's the reward that we're seeking. And when we're there, we know it, as a friend of mine would say, balls to bone. Right?
Yeah.
So that's where we want to stay, and all this other stuff is stuff that we want to turn our attention from and stay focused on this place in the heart. It's simple, it says here. It is simple. If you accept me, if you accept the truth of what you feel in your heart, when you rest in your heart, you shall know the truth. You shall know me. In knowing me, you shall know life and truth, for I am life and truth. I mean, that's what this is talking about.
And you're speaking about attention, and I think that I think that's so relevant, because that's really our capital. That's our currency.
Right.
That's what we have. That's what we are in sole possession of right here, is our attention.
Yeah.
So
yeah, because
where will we invest?
Yeah, I'm sorry. No, I'm just gonna. I'm just. That's exactly what that paragraph was saying. If you you came here to participate in the desires of the world, you're the creator. You're the one. The ball's in your court. You're the one who's driving this whole thing. And if you're still here, there's a reason for that. If you're still here and not really experiencing your oneness, there's a reason for that. There's no shame in that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's no shame in that. That's okay. You're here because you wanted to see what it would be like to experience things from the perspective of a singular, separate self. That's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And
mm-hmm.
when you're tired of doing that, you won't do it anymore. It's really that simple. And a lot of us feel really tired, and we're going, no, I've been asking, help me, show me.
911, they don't answer.
Can't you hear me? Right? But the truth is, we just need to turn our attention to that spot in our heart more and more. And that increases our desire for me, it says here, which is, you know, for the truth of who we are, for the one truth. Yeah, I'm done.
All right. Thank you. This is a nice finish to that chapter. We're going to start with chapter 17 now.
We are. And how long do we have left? We got 10 minutes. We're doing good.
I don't suppose we're going to finish chapter 17.
I don't think so either.
All right. We're going to start it, though. Verse 1. The Holy Spirit uses symbols to teach, because the world is a world of symbols. Do not think that the world is reality, or that the symbols of the world are reality, and do not argue them. See them as symbols and ask me what use they have for you. In this way, all things have meaning. Every single form in this universe is a pointer to the truth, if we would have it so. Verse 4. Thinking for yourself is not the way to understanding, for it is yourself you must lay aside. And so it is your thoughts you must lay aside. They are but thoughts of confusion. Believe not in what you think.
Wow. How radical is that? Don't believe your thoughts. And you know, we've heard this, right? Who hadn't heard that? Don't believe your thoughts. But think about the magnitude of that, the gravity of that. Are you kidding me? Don't believe your thoughts. You know, I mean, I gotta tell this guy, because if I don't tell this guy who's boss, he's gonna mistreat me. No, don't believe your thoughts. Right? I've got to, you know, my experience lately, my personal experience is, you know, I'm back in court these days, and my personal experience is a good judge has to move these cases through the courts. I can't pass them over and over again. I got to hold people's feet to the fire and make them settle these cases. And, you know, blah, blah, blah. And this is what I'm thinking. What am I here for? Why am I in this courtroom? I'm in this courtroom to, you know, do the job they're paying me to do. No. No, wrong. that's believing my thoughts. And it's so, I mean, that's what we do. It's so easy to get caught up in believing your thoughts. But that's not what I'm there to do. What am I there to do? I'm there to be in my heart. I'm there to do what they pay me to do, but do it from my heart. And that may not look like what I used to think it looked like. That may not look like moving these cases. Hey, look at her. She's a great judge. She moves these cases right along. Boy, does she make these lawyers do what they're supposed to do? That's not it. But we just get so caught up in it. I'm there to be in my heart. Yeah, and that's where I want to stay. And so it takes practice. That's where I need to start the day. That's where I need to end the day. Somebody told me recently that I might even, you know, tap on my chest to remind myself, be in my heart. Okay, let's be in my heart now.
I'll do that for you, too.
Hey, you. Thanks. All right, go ahead.
Well, I just also wanted to point to the sentence that says, and so it is your thoughts you must lay aside. If I'm doing my practice as often as I can, that minimizes the possibility of thoughts tremendously. I'd want to do everything I can to if a thought comes, fine, but I have no desire for thoughts any longer. I have realized the futility of thought. They still come, of course, because of that momentum that I spoke of earlier, but I am I choose to mitigate the possibility of thought, and I do that by being focused, by putting my attention on the truth within me, the inner guru, the Holy Spirit, the Christ self. Focusing right there, the I am, and keep my focus right there, and there are less thoughts, much more time spent with the truth. And to me, it feels like there's a hastening of the path. Verse 5. I am the light and the voice of heaven. Listen to me. Take my words into your heart and practice what I teach. Be concerned with nothing but me, for the Spirit of God is one. Again, it says, take my words into your heart and practice what I teach. Take my words into your heart. And there is, for me, I find that there is an ability to listen with my heart. Yeah. Bypass the normal channels and truly listen with my heart.
Yeah, that's so sweet. You just, you know, it doesn't mean that you just disengage from the thoughts. Mm. And it's an experience that I can appreciate because I've had, because you just quit thinking. Mm. You quit thinking. You quit. You know what we try to do as humans, as separate selves, is manipulate our world and our environment. So we're always plotting and planning, and when if this happens, then that happens, and let me think how this affects me, and what about the things that are going to happen next? And so you'd be sitting right across from somebody and not hearing them,
right?
Because you're going 100 miles an hour,
yeah,
trying to figure things out. Even if you're not doing it consciously, if you don't realize. So that's what we get when we listen from our heads.
Right.
Even if we think we're listening intently.
Right. Yeah.
Because that's running in the back, even if you're not consciously hearing it. All those plans, thoughts, manipulations are running in the background.
Yeah. You think you're paying attention. You're like, wow, look at me. I'm really paying attention to this person. You have that thought going on. You know?
Boy, am I a good listener. but it's very, very different experience from dropping into your heart and being there. And it's so funny because we've been talking already about this attention and focus. If your focus is there, you might not even be conscious of what's being said. But you're getting a whole lot more.
Yeah.
You're communing and communicating with this person.
Energetically.
Yes, in a different way.
Because I feel the energy.
Yes.
I feel just a soothing, loving communication interaction with what I'm engaged with.
Yeah. So you're really joining with that person, and it's not head to head. You know, not thoughts to thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
I think we may be out of time. What time does it say there on the computer?
Yeah, it's like 11:28.
Okay, well, guys, we had fun. We hope you did.
Yeah, we dug it.
We love you, and we look forward to seeing you as often as we can. But we'll see you again next week. We'll let go of the mic. Love you guys. Bye.
Good night, guys.